This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
So good to see everybody. I'll be honest with you, I almost forgot that it was Father's Day. Anybody else in the same boat? You're like, oh yeah. Sadly, my dad passed away 5 years ago, 5 years, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. And it was strange. You know how sometimes when maybe you move to another house in the same town and you still end up going to the old house? I did that the other day. I had to go to Mariana, and I was going to the my district office, and I went to the old district office. You just kind of by habit, and it was a strange feeling that I knew it was Father's Day, and the first thing I wanted to do is call my dad. And it's like, oh, and then it finally hit me for like a millisecond. And so as I look back at my own dad, he was a phenomenal man. I don't know how he could raise 6 kids. And, you know, my dad was the kind of person that scratched and clawed for a living. And my brothers, I'm the youngest, so a lot of the stories I was spared because I was the youngest. But the stories my brothers tell of, you know, not volunteering, but taking a job that should normally cost, you know, back in those days, maybe $500, and my dad would only charge $100. You know, and he was always the cheapest, partly because he had free labor. He had my 4 brothers, and so, you know, doing concrete jobs. My dad did everything. He didn't lack confidence, but he, looking back, you know, and I'm sometimes the same way. The confidence level may not be at the level that, you know, like he poured concrete. And I remember what he did one time was we went to the dump. And back in those days, the dump was kind of fun. It's actually a landfill where people dump your trash and they fill it with land. And we went and we took mattresses. And then my dad would make us take the mattress and strip all the cloth and all the foam out of it. And it left us with the metal part, the springs. And then that's what we used instead of rebar for the concrete driveway. So we had mattress springs all the way down, setting it up. So, you know, he just figured it out. he didn't have to buy rebar. He just got old mattresses. Now, I was in the truck watching my brothers work. I was too young, so I was like Joseph, and my brothers had to bow down to me. So, not only was I the youngest, because I had my operation in my ear, I was babied, and I could almost hear my wife saying, "He still is." She's downstairs. It's interesting how things have changed. Growing up, I played Little League Baseball. I played for 2 years when I moved to Sarasota, and not once did my parents come to the game. I mean, and I never interpreted that they didn't care. I just interpreted that they're busy working, you know, so they're working so I can go play. It wasn't never interpreted like, I can't believe my mom and dad aren't there to watch me. And I thank the Lord, I was a really bad baseball player. I had a batting average under 100. And so my coach said, "Mario, how much do you weigh?" And I said, 65 pounds. He goes, "Well, that's about your batting average." And so, so I'm glad my dad wasn't there. He'd probably be frustrated. So, anyway, happy Father's Day. Speaking of Father's Day, I want to talk to you about someone who's often overlooked. Any fathers here? I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. In some quarters, sometimes we have situations where fathers are overlooked or husbands are overlooked. I watched the show called The Crown. Anybody ever see the Crown? It's the English, I think it was on Netflix or whatever. It's about the royal family in England. And Queen Elizabeth was married to Prince Philip, but Queen Elizabeth was the queen. He was not the king over the queen. She was, and so for 73 years they were married, and makes, I think, the longest British monarchy marriage. And Queen Elizabeth is known throughout the world, but her husband was lesser known. And because of his position, he was married into the family. But I want to talk to you about someone that maybe is overlooked, but I want us to really learn from him on this Father's Day. And I'm talking about Joseph, the father of Jesus, earthly father, and the husband of Mary. It is interesting when we're going to read the passage here in a second, how significant he is, but maybe we don't recognize it. Because, you know, Mary is the focal person in the story early on. God chose Mary to be the one who was going to give birth to the Son of God, Jesus. But he also chose Joseph, the father of Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about him, that they were chosen to be parents together. I remember there was an old TV, and if John Peacock was here, he's on vacation, him and Nicole, I would ask a question, and undoubtedly he would raise his hand, so somebody can raise their hand in his stead. But there was an old movie, a Class B movie, called All Mine to Give. Has anybody ever seen this Class B 1950s movie? Thank you, Ross. You I know you haven't seen it. It was a sad story about this Scottish family that was here in the United States, and this is like the 1850s, and they moved west, and the Scottish family had five kids. It was a husband and wife. In this movie, it was very sad. The father got sick. And he ended up dying. I mean, they're literally living in the wilderness. I think it was in Illinois, and he dies. And then, so it's left for the mom and the five kids. And they literally scratched her way to just survive on her own. And then she got sick. And then she passed away. It was one of those movies you don't want to see. But before she passed away, she told her oldest child, who was 12 years old, in her, you know, very faint voice, because she didn't have a lot of strength, she says, "I want you to go into the village, and I want you to basically find homes for all the kids. But I want you to find a home that has a mom and a loving husband." And I know I'm sharing this sad story on Father's Day, but and that's exactly what happened. He took all the kids, and one by one, he was giving them to families. I remember crying and thinking, I'll never see that movie again. But it was interesting. It was interesting what she said to her oldest child, who was a son. "I want you to find a home for your brothers and sister that has a mom and a loving husband." And so when I think of what God did, finding us, you know, finding a mom and a loving husband. And we're going to see something about Joseph. I hope us men and everybody, we could learn from. And we know that God is our father, and he demonstrates, he loves us and cares for us. But I want to talk to you about Joseph a little bit. Mary was about to have a child, and they were betrothed and they were engaged. And God saw fit that, you know, that Jesus would have a father figure in his life. The Bible says that Mary, the child was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle that took place. And although Joseph was not involved in that part of the conception, but he was still needed as a father in the home. Now, saying all that, we might have some single parents in the house, and I just want to say that this is not diminishing your role as the single parent. I want you to know that we love and care for you, and God is empowering you. I can only imagine how it's not easy being a single parent. A few weeks ago, I remember talking, I shared with our church that we were not only here to expand the love of Jesus, but also to love one another. And it's important that we are, as a church, together. And so we all have to pitch in, and especially those who are in situations in life that, you know, they find themselves in, like a single parent. When we do baby dedications, I ask the church to stand up and participate in saying that we will help raise the child. And so, and especially I would say for those who are raising up children by themselves, we need to be there for each other. Amen? But the normal pattern for children, God's design, is to be raised with a father and a mother. And so Joseph was chosen. And just as God looked for a godly woman to bring forth a child, he looked for a godly man to be the father. So let's look together in the story of a loving, I would say, a husband. The scripture tells us, and I'll read in a moment, I would say that it draws a picture for us what a caring and affectionate man looks like. So we're going to first look at the relationship of a loving man towards Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "And this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to be disgraced her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet." In verse 23, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And so when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So this is the scenario where Joseph finds that his engaged wife is pregnant. What would you think if you were engaged to someone and you, of course, would not have had any sexual relationship, and then you find out that your engaged wife is pregnant? You fall in love with a pretty girl. You did all the right things. You pursue her properly and in the customary way. You've been alone in moments. And you've talked, you've shared dreams together. You talked about, I guess, a house with a white picket fence, a family, what are you going to do for work? And then out of the blue, you find out your fiance is pregnant, newly pregnant. And you have no clue who the father is. But there's one person you know you can rule out, which was himself. I can imagine he would feel betrayed. He could feel angry. And we know in the Old Testament, the penalty for adultery was death. But it had changed by the time the New Testament came around. But upon the discovery of Mary being pregnant, Joseph could have been obliged to divorce her. And divorce was allowed and required to break an engagement because someone was unfaithful. But even before God spoke to Joseph, Joseph didn't have any vengeance or bitterness in his heart. The Bible says this. He was minded. He was wanting to put her away secretly, end the engagement secretly. I think as I look at this story more carefully, I think that Joseph was kind and he loved Mary. Now we see movies and we read books, romance novels and all that. But here's, I believe, a true love story, and it's based on real commitment. Joseph was committed. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that husbands, we must love our wives with all that we have. Be committed. The example that I'm reading and talking to you about of Joseph, we can see how he loved her. And Jesus, of course, later on, we know from scriptures that Jesus is going to encourage us and challenge us through his passages that we are to love our wives like Christ loved the church. The second thing I notice about Joseph, he was a loving man. When the child was born, he didn't have an attitude, well, this kid's not mine. This isn't my blood and flesh. As we read the story, we see that there's no resentment or indifference towards the child, Jesus. I believe that Joseph adopts Jesus as his own. Now, we've had some foster parents and adoptive parents, and I'm always encouraged to see these parents do what they do. So I'm thinking of Joseph as well, that he took Jesus as his own. I forget who said this, but I wrote it down. He adopted the one the rest of the world would reject. So today, sadly, we live in a world that's very different. Sadly, we have a culture where men abdicate their role towards their own children, their own flesh and blood. And men are opting out of the role of fatherhood because of its cost. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So as Christians, we are called to provide love and care for our families. So husbands, let's look at Joseph as an example, a loving man. Joseph, I could say he was a devout man. Why? Because he was devout to God, because there are many times where God spoke to him through the angel of the Lord, and he obeys. He explicitly follows the Lord's leading and direction. He didn't follow his own plan for his own life. If it was his own plan, would be like, I want my wife, she's a virgin, and the first child is going to be mine. And it didn't work out like that, but he was devoted to God, and he followed what God wanted. God spoke to him in a dream and told him to marry Mary, and he obeyed. The Bible says when God spoke to them and said, take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt for safety. And what did he do? He immediately obeyed. He closed up his business and left. And then the Lord says, it's okay to go back to Israel. And what did he do? He obeyed and he went back home. He was a man of obedience. So Joseph was a loving man, a devout man, and I would say he was a loving man. And he was a man of faith. It takes faith to pack your bags up and head to a foreign country. It's one thing I admire about my dad. The story of my father is that basically he packed up the family and came to the United States. We were sponsored by a family in New York. My dad went all through the paperwork and off we went. I wasn't born yet, but no education. My dad had a sixth grade education. My mom had a third grade education and five kids. And that takes a lot of guts. And so I'm going to read the story of Joseph. This was a man of guts and faith. So pack your bags and head off to a foreign country with no prospects, no planning, simply trusting the Lord. He had faith to obey a dream. And he didn't have excuses to do his own thing. I pray that as we men and fathers look into this passage, that I pray that your faith will speak to your children. Because sake of time, I just want to skip a few pages. It's important that we exemplify faith to our children. Jesus could see what Joseph was doing. And I pray that that's one of the reasons, and I've said it over and over again, why we have kids up here. And for you, those you have young kids, so I'm thinking a few of you have young kids, it's a challenge. And it's a cost, right? I think, Amber, you were downstairs the whole time. And there's a cost. And it pains me to know that you're doing that. But it would be a bigger cost, a church-wide cost, if we were to send the kids downstairs during worship. It's priceless for your kids to see their daddy or people in the church, adults, to worship Jesus. So I'm Deanna and Lindsay and others that have young children, we know you're paying a cost by being up here or going downstairs and watching worship on the TV downstairs. But it's so important that we model. And I just want to pause for a moment. It blesses me to see you worship as well. Where's Ed? Ed Valconet here? He was here. There he is, Ed. Ed does not know I'm going to say this, but Ed has Ed's a tad bit older than me. And Ed is a father figure in our church. And Ed, talking to him and listening to him and watching him, what he does has encouraged me. He has a wife that's in memory care, and he's faithful to her. He visits her every day, spends time with her, and does a Sunday service. So that's why he comes in late. It's not because he's late. He's doing a Sunday service, church service, at the memory care facility where his wife resides. And he does that at other places. So as a church, that's why we don't want to be a one-generation church. We need multi-generational church. It's encouraging me to see a generation older than me how to love God and how to love your spouse and how to love one another. Ed is, you know, in great shape physically and mentally, and I imagine he could be doing other things, but the thing he wants to do is honor God by being a man of faith that loves God, that listens to his commands. Now, if I were to ask Ed, he probably says, I'm not perfect, and we all know none of us are perfect, but Ed, thank you. Thank you for being an example. But that's how important it is to see an example, and children need to see an example of faith in a father. So I want to say thank you for all of you for coming to church. It sets an example. You know how easy it is not to come to church? A few weeks ago, you know, this might be hard to believe, but it was rainy and I was tired. I'm like, maybe I'll call in sick today. And Robin says, you can't do that. You're the pastor. And so let me just recap as I kind of come to a close. Joseph was a loving man, loving towards his wife, loving towards his son, and towards his whole family. And the second thing we learn is he's a devout man, a man who is devoted to God, a man of obedience and faith and his spiritual duties. So thank you, guys. And I would say he was a wise man. Wise because he lived like someone who would redeem the time. He doesn't waste time. And I just want you to hear me carefully. biblical scholars, and you can just read the passage, it doesn't sound like he had a long life. You know, by the time Jesus was being crucified, Joseph was no longer around. So he wasn't around for a long time. We know that we don't read anything about after him, after Jesus' childhood. But I believe Joseph took advantage of the time that he had, and he did it. He served his time on this earth honorably and wisely. He provided for his family. He set an example for his family. And he raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Jesus was not the only child that Joseph had. Now, some people would say different, but he had more children. And one thing I recognize is that Joseph taught his son the business, the family trade. We have a young man here, James, and James's dad passed away, but James's dad instilled in him a trade. And he is a very skilled carpenter, James is. If you need him to do any work, you have to come through me, and I have a little fee. But that tells me, you know, that's why when I meet parents, I'm always amazed and I just blessed by them because I see the product of their effort. Mr. Everett's here. I see the product of your doing of Natalie. She didn't raise herself. It took someone setting an example and being there spiritually, emotionally, physically. So as I come to a conclusion, none of us know how much time we have. About 3 days ago, it's like, you guys are too young, but I was going to say, Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Those of you who are older know what I'm referencing. It hurt a little bit right here. Sanford and Son, you have to watch it. None of us know how much time we have left. We don't know how much time we have left with our children, with our families. Some of us may only have weeks. Some of us maybe have only a year. Some of us have 5 years, 10 years, who knows? But Joseph redeemed his time wisely. So the question I have for us men and women in the church, are we redeeming our time wisely as Joseph did? Encouraging one another to take the opportunity that God has given us. In 1 Timothy 5:8, as I said earlier, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he is denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some say, oh yes, I do provide for my family. I put food on the table. I remember my mom and dad having that argument once, and my dad says, who do you think puts food on the table? But I would say fathers need more than food on the table. They need love. They need to be loving and caring and setting an example, men of faith. So this Father's Day, as I wrap it up, I pray that we could learn from Joseph. Learn to be loving, faithful, devout, wise men of God, and take that time and use it. We don't know how much time we have. So let me encourage you this morning, dads, let's learn from Joseph. Amen. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. Lord, we say thank you, Father, for this passage that you allowed us to read. A lot of times we just read it during Christmas and we focus on Mary, but Lord, thank you for the example that you put in writing of Joseph on this Father's Day. Thank you, Lord, that we could learn from that. Holy Spirit, help us to be the men that you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for every man here. Lord, I thank you for every person here. Lord, help us to learn to be devout, to be wise, loving, and caring one for another. Thank you for generations, young and old, in our church, all setting an example and pointing towards Jesus. So Lord, as we go home today, I pray, God, that we just acknowledge your goodness in our lives, And B, Lord, that we would be used by you in little things, and how we treat one another and how we treat our children and our parents. We say thank you, Father, for your loving kindness towards us. Be with us, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, again, I've been saying this for a while, but we changed our benediction a little bit. And so the first part's normal. May the Lord be with you. And then I read the portion, may the Lord bless you and protect you. And may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed, and happy Father's Day. God bless.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.